When we are talking about the fruit of the Spirit, I feel like it can easily become abstract. We can easily get caught skimming over the list, almost to where it can lose its meaning. We've already talked about love being the sugar that runs through all the other fruit. Without love, the others lack the thing that makes them sweet and so desirable. We also talked about joy as something deeper and more sustainable than happiness. And now we're talking about peace. There are several different ways we can think about peace. There is the cessation of conflict. There is the state of tranquility. There is the accomplishment of unity. So wrestling with how to approach it today, I've decided to look at the practical guidance Paul gave to the Romans church. I think of the proverb, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver." What do we bring to a situation? For me as a mother, are my words bringing peace? What am I bringing to my family? Is my family worked up when I enter a conversation or leave the room? How about as a member of a church? If I enter a conversation, do I leave smiles or do I leave angst, frustration, and questions? What is said when I leave the room? I just love her, or can you believe what she just said? So let's start in Romans 12:1. Brethren, or actually, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So Paul is begging them, because they are members of one family, by the mercy of God, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. There's nothing that is left out when we present our whole selves to the Lord. There's nothing that we can hang on to. It is a whole, we need to be holy. We need to be acceptable. We need to be without blemish. We need to be pure. We need to be completely given to God. And this is not unreasonable. This is a practical thing. This is a real thing that God is asking of us. Because he gave so much, it's not unreasonable to ask for our whole life. And he starts out with, and be not conformed. It's like the second thing. If we're going to move forward in this conversation, you must not be conformed to this world. But you must be transformed by the renewing or the rebirth of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So there's no denying it. You must be transformed. You must be brought to that perfect and acceptable will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. So here's the third thing. After we're not conformed to the world, after we're not looking for how the world is framing issues, the world is framing our role, the world is framing our society, then we need to be given to humility. We need to be thinking of ourselves less. Verse 3 again, for I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, that's strategically, that is clearly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. There's not one part of our body that is more important than the other parts of the body. When my foot hurts, my eyes cry. When my knee itches, my hand goes out and it itches my knee. There is no one that is part of my body that is more important than the other. That we're all working together to get where we need to go and do what we need to do. We have a common goal. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. All of these are important. But we shouldn't think that our position, what we are doing for the body, is the most important. No, our ministry is to work in unity with all the other ministries and with all the other parts of God's body. Let love be without dissimulation. What does dissimulation mean? Hypocrisy. Let your things be done with true affection, not with a ulterior motive, not with hoping to get something in return, but let it be an honest love. Let it be a sincere love. Abhor that which is evil. Hate all evil things and cleave to that which is good. That right there will get you so far. Just loving good things and hating evil. Be kindly affectionated one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Okay, you go first. Oh no, that's fine. Oh, I'm sure you didn't mean anything by that. Giving the benefit of the doubt. Being warm. Answering sweetly. Answering kindly. Verse 11, not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. So, whatever you find yourself, whether you're making your home for your family or even for yourself, whether you are in your yard, whether you are at your job, whether you are at the church doing a specific job that is, we consider actual ministry, all of that, we need to not be lazy. We need to be very fervent. We need to be moving quickly and all of it serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Man, patient in tribulation. Now, we're not facing prison like this church. We're not facing persecution in that way. But, you know, there's opposition. And we need to be patient. We need not be frustrated. We need to continue instant in prayer. Always our go-to. Talking to the Lord. Turning to Him. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Given to hospitality. We're talking about keeping the peace. So if I see the need of someone else in my in the body of Christ, I need to minister to that need. I need to make sure that everybody's kids have winter clothes. I need to make sure that people have a ride to where they need to go. We need to make right? We're looking around at the body of Christ and we're saying, what's the need? Well, how does that bring peace? Well, first, they are going to be blessed and they're not going to be envying because of what you have that they don't have. But also, it's not going to create an offense. How many times have we heard, I was going through this and nobody cared. I was going through this and nobody was paying attention. Right? We are living at peace. We're looking for practical ways that we can live in peace. We need to be given to hospitality. You know, bringing somebody in who you don't necessarily get along with or like is different than you, like you're not best buddies with, you'd be amazed what you can build with being hospitable. Now, this is something we don't do a lot of in this society, in this time frame. We don't bring people into our homes, but we need to be given to it. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Boy, is that difficult. I'm just saying, for this girl, it is not easy for me to be a blessing, to pray a blessing on somebody who is mad at me or is cursing at me or talking behind my back. I'm working on it. But we're talking about bringing peace. We're talking about having the fruit of peace. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep, right? Not raining on somebody's parade, not jumping over somebody who is facing a hard thing. We need to rejoice if people are having a celebration, not being envious, not being eye rolling. We need to, not being envious, and weep with people who have sorrow. We're talking about bearing peace. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. So you got to be equal to everyone, whether they have a lot of money or no money, whether they have connections that will help you or they can't even hold a job, right? We need to treat them equally. Now, that doesn't mean we can give them equal responsibility, but we can give them equal respect. We can give them equal eye contact. We can give them an equal hello. We can make sure that the person that we're not naturally drawn to, that we purposefully minister to them. Be not wise in our own conceit. Boy, that's pretty straightforward. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. He keeps revisiting this, person in our life who we are wronged by. He keeps revisiting them. Because we need to live peaceably with people that we're offended with, that we're offended by. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, there's some people who don't want peace. There's some people that are itching for a fight. There's some people that have no self-control and don't want any self-control. So in that case, you might have to build a fence, a physical fence, or a boundary in your life so that you can live peaceably. Because you can't allow someone else's chaos, can't allow someone else's aggression to rule your life. So there are some things that you're going to have to do that for those people that are unwilling to live peaceably. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. I don't think the order is an accident, right? He's saying as much as you can live peaceably and don't avenge yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, put it away. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire in his head. So we're going to live as peaceably as we can. We're not going to pay those terrible people with evil. We're going to bless them, and we are going to allow the Lord to have his way, and he's going to bring justice in the end. In the meantime, we're going to feed them if they're hungry. If they're thirsty, we're going to give them water, and we are going to do our part in this because we are bearing the fruit of peace. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Don't get sucked in. Don't allow it to rule your life. Overcome with good. He continues in chapter 3. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. He's talking about government. He's saying we all have to bring ourselves in subjection to the government. We need to honor the government. We need to obey the government because God has allowed this government. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power or resisteth the government resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. He is writing a persecuted church. He is writing people as they are in prison, as their families are being imprisoned. They've been displaced because of persecution by the government. And yet he's saying the proper role of government is to bring law and order, basically. Is to keep the thieves from thieving, the robbers from robbering, the murderers from murdering. That's the role of government. It's to bring about a peaceful existence to all. He's talking about how it should be and how our response is even when it isn't what it should be. Right? For rulers are not a terror to good works. The government's role is not to bring any punishment on a law-abiding citizen. It's to bring punishment on people who don't abide by the law. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Okay, we're talking about living in peace. We're talking about bearing the fruit of peace. And it is not easy to live in a government, under a government, that is persecuting you and stopping you from doing what is right, hindering you from doing what's right. But in response to that, we are still going to bear the right fruit. Right? In Galatians 5, he says, against such there is no law. He's writing to people who are preaching the gospel, sharing their faith. They are turning the world upside down in the midst, right? In the midst of persecution. He's saying we still need to honor it. Their role is ordained of God. Wherefore, verse 5, you must needs be subject for not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake, not just to avoid punishment, but because you are in relationship with God. For this cause, pay ye tribute also, pay your taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. So even though they're doing wrong things, and even though they're going to take your tax money to pay the soldier who is going to come and persecute you, pay your taxes. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to who custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So it means we're not going to be disrespectful. We're not going to be rude, even when they're not being peaceable, right? He's saying they're supposed to be, they're supposed to do what's right and good, but even though they're not, we're still going to do what's right. Verse 8, owe no man anything, but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So don't have debt. That will help you to live peaceably with people. Have you ever seen or heard people who had their house repossessed? How they take everything of value out of the house? Maybe even down to the pipes and the light fixtures? Or maybe they destroy the house because they're so angry that they couldn't pay their debt. They're so mad at the mortgage company. If you don't have debt, it's a lot easier to live peaceably. If you want to know, if you want some resources, ask me how. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. There is that love piece again. It's the thing that makes living peaceably palatable, that makes all these hard things that Paul is writing us to do to bring about peace and show peace in our life. It makes it all palatable. It makes it all doable because we have to have this love. And that, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and in envying. So rioting and drunkenness, right? That is partying and being inebriated. That is with, you know, in our day and age, without either drugs or alcohol, legal or illegal, right? That is not how we walk in the day. So this chambering, it is cohabitation. It's to conceive. It's sexual. And not with wontonness. It's not a food at the Chinese restaurant, right? It is licentiousness or filthiness or vices, right? This is very much our society and very much Roman society. But that's not how we're going to walk in the day. We're going to turn away from those things. Verse 14, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And right, and now we're back, same place as Galatians 5, where Paul tells the Galatian church, these are the works of the flesh, don't do them. When he says the lusts of the flesh, he's saying the desires of our natural minds and bodies. He's like, put those away and put on Christ. Why are we doing this? So we can bear fruit. Specifically today, the fruit of peace. We're going to talk about this more next time. Have a great day.